Welcome to the TKO from Lights Out Productions.
From the website of 1320wils.com, I'm Brad.
And I'm his brother Jason. With us, as always, is Honest Rob.
How's it going, party people?
All right, this week on the TKO, we're going to kick it off talking about the latest Strikeforce event that just happened. It was Diaz versus Cyborg.
Yeah.
Happened on the 29th. First up, we want to talk about the Herschel Walker fight, actually, the old NFL running back.
Amazing. It was amazing. There was, I think, a lot of questions about Herschel Walker coming in, you know, with his age, if he was going to be able to kind of hang, and if this was more of like a novelty fight thing, kind of like when James Toney came over and did MMA. I think he answered all the questions last night. Granted, his opponent was not some, you know, big name guy or anything
Scott
like that.
Scott Carson.
But he whooped him. Yeah. I mean, he just completely dominated him. He picked him up. He threw him around like a little kid. I mean, it just, he looked like an MMA fighter, not a running back trying to be an MMA fighter.
And the thing I think people don't really realize about Herschel Walker is that this isn't like a new thing for him, really.
I mean,
he was a big Taekwondo guy, I think, in college and everything. I mean, he'd, you know, have his college game and then he'd go to a tournament, you know, on Sunday and win a tournament, you know. So I mean, this isn't like he just jumped into MMA,
right?
You know, he's been doing martial arts a good chunk of his life.
And I think another thing people don't really realize is this isn't just a regular 40-something-year-old guy. You know what I'm saying? This is like Randy Couture.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, these guys don't come around all the time. He looks like, I mean, he looks in better shape than most of the people that are in Strikeforce, UFC. I mean, you wouldn't guess he was his age by his physique, the way you looked at him. Here's the negative thing I will say about it, though, is I think, you know, everyone knows, as far as his age goes, that, like I was just saying, he looks very good for his age. I think the question is, when you get older like that, it's a stamina thing. He ended this in the first round. If this was to go to a third round, would he still look, you know, good? Would he still have the same type of endurance? I think that's the question that most people have. You know, even if you're in your 50s, you probably at least have one good round in you. Now, it's going forward, though. That's the question that most people have.
And I think that's the thing people really want to see from him, is that three-round fight. Because, you know, an older fighter, you use Randy Couture as the example, because he's the only one, really.
Right.
and that's the thing. It's the exception. It's not the norm, you know? So, I mean, Randy Couture can do a three-round fight, maybe a five-round fight, and even at this age, you know, we want to see if Herschel Walker has that type of endurance.
Right.
Or if he is just a, you know, one-round knock-him-out-or-it's-over type of guy.
Right, right. So, yeah, I just thought the performance was brilliant. I would like to see another fight coming up. There was some rumors that he might be trying to go back to the NFL. He kind of squashed those last night and said that he's staying in MMA. So that was good to see. You know, I really wanted to see that one and kind of see how that played out.
I think he's going to be interesting coming up through Strikeforce and maybe to UFC someday.
I would love to see that.
Yeah. So there was also a middleweight title fight between Ronaldo Souza and Robbie Lawler.
Yeah. It was a decent fight. It kind of went the way everyone thought it was going to go. I mean, Souza, you know, submitted him, rear naked choke, I believe it was.
Yeah, it was.
And, you know, Robbie Lawler, he's good on the hands. That's the prototypical matchup, you know what I'm saying? You got the big striker with the knockout power and the guy who, you know, is the Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy, really good on the ground. And it kind of was just where the fight went, you know, and it ended up Robbie Lawler couldn't keep it on the feet, so he, you know, just kind of look lost down there on the ground.
Yeah, Robbie Lawler's always been that brawler type of fighter.
Yeah.
He ended up just getting caught on the ground there, and that's not where he wants to be.
And that's the thing with Souza, I believe he had like 4 of 6 takedowns were successful, and like you can't have that. If you're a stand-up fighter, you have to have better takedown defense. You know, Chuck Liddell was a perfect example of that. Yeah. He wasn't really a good ground fighter, but you couldn't get him down to the ground. If Robbie Lawler's going to try to, you know, fight for the belt again, he's got to work on that part of his game to not get taken down, or if he does get taken down, to get back up.
Definitely.
So that, I don't think that was a big surprise as far as that fight went.
Yeah. And then the other big fight of the night on Strikeforce there was the welterweight title fight between Nick Diaz and Evangelista Santos, just Cyborg Santos there.
Yeah. I don't know how many people saw how this fight was going to go. I think Nick Diaz has looked better on his feet than I think most people expected. But, you know, got him down on the ground, slapped an armbar on him, and that was that, you know. And as much as I know, Jason, you don't like Nick Diaz. He looks good. I mean, he really does.
He looks good in Strikeforce is the problem. He couldn't cut it in UFC. He went to the minor leagues, and now he's got a belt.
Like, I think he would. I would like to see Nick Diaz go back to UFC and face some of the top contenders there and see what happens. I don't think it's going to happen. Because
I'd like to see that, too, because I think he'd get whooped.
I think the way he sees it right now is I'm getting paid a lot of money. Yeah. I'm a title holder. Why mess with a good thing?
Better to be a big fish in a small pond.
Yeah.
Than
yeah. And like I said, I'm not saying that he would be able to go to UFC and be a champ, but he would definitely, I say, be in contention. He looks good when he fights. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I think the biggest story out of those three was the Herschel Walker one. The other ones I don't think were really that big of a surprise.
Yeah.
Next big thing for Strikeforce, obviously, is the heavyweight tournament. Mm-hmm. Excited to see that. That's going to be coming up in February, so I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, that's
one.
Big news. That should be really cool to see.
Yeah, definitely can't wait to break down those fights.
Yeah, definitely. moving on to the UFC, they also had an event. Fight for the Troops 2 was a UFC fight night that went on.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to recap some of the big fights that happened there.
Okay.
First up, the main, headline anyway was Melvin Gillard versus Evan Dunham, and Melvin Gillard came out and whooped Evan Dunham.
He looked awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and I talked about it on our last podcast that I figured it would be a one round type of thing,
yeah.
Whether it was Gillard or Dunham, and Melvin Gillard stepped up big time. First round knockout, one knockout of the night also.
Yeah,
just Melvin Gillard looked really good.
Yeah, yeah, and really they were kind of saying that this kind of puts him at least in the title picture. At least the top 10. That's a very stacked division that he's in.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of put him in as far as the top 10 as that goes. I mean, he really just made Dunham look bad.
And Dunham's a really good fighter. I mean,
yeah.
He was, 11-1 coming into the fight?
Yeah.
Here's
the thing I'm going to say about both of them is that neither of them really faced top-tier talent except for Dunham, who got beat by Sean Sherk. I mean, there was kind of some debate. Some people thought that he should have won that fight. But I really have a problem saying Sean Sherk is top of the division right now. To me,
well, right
he's
now,
not
definitely not
top
yeah.
10. So to automatically put Gillard and say like, oh, he's upper echelon. I think he needs to face upper echelon and beat him to really be considered top of the division. I think this is all maybe a little bit a little too early, I guess. One of the things that they were talking about was he replaced Kenny Florian in this fight. Kenny Florian was injured, so they brought in Melvin Gillard. He kind of was on record of saying that he thought he should have got this anyway, regardless of if Kenny Florian went out hurt or not. So now there's kind of this back and forth between him and Kenny Florian.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be one. If he beat Kenny Florian, then I would have no problem saying, okay, yeah, he's upper echelon.
Yeah.
He's top of the division.
Well, I think he's definitely got another couple fights to win to really be in title contention. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
You're going to have the rematch between Edgar and mm-hmm. and Gray Maynard coming up for
yeah.
that title, and then you've got Showtime Pettis after that.
Yeah.
So I mean, Gillard's gonna have to do a few more fights before he gets mm-hmm. any type of serious title contention anyway.
Yeah.
And I think against Kenny Florian would be a great test for him.
Yeah.
I think that would really kind of prove I like exactly what you guys are saying. I think Florian has been a fighter that we've seen over the past few years really be that, almost like when we were talking about Chris Lieben a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's the gateway to the top tier.
Right.
If you can beat Florian, then welcome to the big boys.
Yeah. Right.
If you can't, then
he's that gatekeeper sort of.
Yeah, he's that gatekeeper kind of fighter. Is he going to get another title shot ever? Probably not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's hard to say. Gatekeeper.
And the fact of the matter is Dana White is not all that happy with Kenny Florian, saying that every time he puts them on the big stage, to really take that next step to not just be a gatekeeper, he kind of folds under pressure and he loses.
Yeah.
So, Kenny Florian, I think, has a ways to go as well. But, a gatekeeper he is not a bad fighter at all.
He is a very good
fighter. Mm-hmm. And if you can beat him, that means that you know what you're doing. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't just a lucky punch. Kenny Florian is a good, hard-nosed fighter. So I would like to see that. And maybe after that, I would like to see him maybe fight someone maybe who loses out of the Clay Guida, Anthony Pettis. And then I would say, whatever, whoever. I think it's a little we don't know who's going to have the title at that point.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, after that, I would say he should either be, have the next in line for the title or fight whoever loses between Frankie Edgar. Well, I guess because Anthony Pettis gets the next one.
Yeah.
If he wins against Clay Guida, which is not going to be a walk in the park.
Definitely.
I would like to see, I think, two more fights before he's there.
And I think Frankie Edgar or whoever the champion is going to have two fights in there anyway.
Yeah.
With, against Gray Maynard and then against against Showtime Pettis. So, I mean, Melvin Gallard is going to have probably at least two before he gets any type of a title shot there.
And he said that he wants to continue fighting, you know. And that's kind of been his thing. He says he doesn't want to take any time off. Yeah. He wants to get right back in there.
Well, Gallard's, 24 and has, like, 50-some-odd fights. So
he said
he's
over 100.
He's a fighter.
So, it was definitely a great fight there.
Yeah, definitely. The next thing down the fight card we had was Matt Mitrione defeated Tim Haig. And I know all of us kind of predicted that would happen. But Mitrione actually looked really good. He had a first-round TKO of Tim Haig. And I think his striking is coming along really well.
Yeah, definitely. He kind of said that he realizes he hasn't really faced any real talent yet. Mm-hmm. I guess his next quest, he's trying to get Chet Congo in there, would be a very good telling thing. Like I said, he hasn't fought anyone yet. People were trying to make, I wouldn't say a big deal, but a deal out of him fighting Tim Haig. It meant absolutely nothing to me. Tim Haig looked lost in there. He shouldn't have even been in the UFC, if you ask me. I'm not trying to take anything away from Mitrione, but it just...
I understand, Haig probably wasn't the best test for Mitrione, but you can still gauge how a fighter looks, coming out there and having a fight. And Mitrione looked really good.
And the thing about Mitrione, I will say that's positive, is he looks better every time he comes out, which means he's really, he takes this seriously.
And he's progressing, which is good to see. You don't just want to see him come out there plateaued.
And I think what we've seen, too, is a very slow progression in heavyweight fighters. Mm-hmm. We've seen guys in other divisions come up quickly, and whether they sputter and or whether they shoot for the stars, they just come up very, very quickly in some of the other divisions. Mm-hmm. We've seen a lot of guys develop very, very slowly in the heavyweight division. I think like Stefan Struve, for example, or Roy Nelson. Mm-hmm. These guys have fought and fought and fought. And I love watching Nelson fight.
Yeah.
But how many fights is it going to take before they actually work their way up? So, I mean, I consider Mitrione in that category.
And then you get the other end of the spectrum where Brock Lesnar comes in and two fights later, he's got a title shot. So.
Good point. But I mean, the guys that are a little bit lower kind of in the smalls of the UFC I really have to work their way up to get past to get into that next level. Mm-hmm. And we were talking kind of like a gatekeeper. I guess I don't really see a gatekeeper in that division right now.
No, I don't.
I think I would kind of throw Frank Mir into that role, maybe.
Possibly.
I would throw Krokop, I think, in there right now. I think before I would throw Mir.
I don't know if Krokop's really.
I don't know.
Without the gatekeeper, you can't say, like we were just talking about, Gallard, fight Florian. If you beat him, you're in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's nobody that Mitrione can call out and say, hey, I'm going to fight this guy, and then I'll be up with the big boys.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think Congo would be good for him. Mm-hmm. It's almost a trap game for Congo. I don't think Congo has anything to prove by beating Mitrione, but I don't know.
Mitrione might have had the type of performance where I think Congo might have something again. I mean, what has Congo done of notoriety lately?
Good point.
I mean, I think that would be a good fight. And it definitely wouldn't be, I think, a roll around on the ground kind of fight. It would definitely be a stand up.
Yeah.
See who can knock who out.
Unless Mitrione decided to take down Congo, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. So I would like to see that one. I think that was a good fight, and it would help really gauge where Mitrione is as far as kind of how the other heavyweights look. You know?
See him up against some higher level talent. I think that's definitely in his future.
Yeah.
The next fight that we had was Mark Hominick defeated George Roop via knockout in the first round.
Oh, amazing.
It was
amazing.
Awesome.
I mean, Roop just looked totally outclassed. It looked like I was fighting Hominick. He just got picked apart. Mm-hmm. And really, for people who hadn't saw Hominick before, really got to see why there's a buzz about this kid.
And that's kind of where I was. I mean, I hadn't seen a whole lot of Hominick before. I mean, I knew he was a decent fighter, but he just really picked apart George Roop.
His precision is just ridiculous. I mean, and if you watch it, that's one of the best things about him, was he was picking his shots. I think he had to have thrown less than 30. I mean, it didn't last that long.
I don't even think he landed as many strikes as George Roop did. I think George Roop landed more strikes, but... Mark Hominick's were so powerful that it was over there first round.
And you
based
can
on
watch
what he did land.
When Roop was getting wobbled by some of these strikes, it's not like Hominick just ran in and started throwing a flurry. I mean, he was still, you could see him just picking, like, okay, I'm going to hit here and then here. I mean, it just, everything was right on the button.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ref in this fight, holy crap. First, I thought he stopped it kind of early.
That's what it looked like. It did look like that.
And then he totally just left the octagon. George Roop gets up, is stumbling across the octagon, and Hominick goes and catches him before he falls. It's like, Where did he go? You know, yeah. I mean, it was just, it was crazy.
He got a text, Brad. All right. He was busy.
One of the ring
Don't
girls.
Don't question him.
It was the new ring girl probably was talking to him. No, yeah. I mean, it wasn't that, well, I mean, it was a good fight, but it wasn't a good fight for Roop. I would like to see, the next fight is going to be interesting for Hominick versus Jose Aldo. He looked really good. Don't get me wrong. I don't see anybody beating Jose Aldo, though. Yeah. I really don't.
It'll be very interesting to see what he can do against him.
Mm-hmm.
The last fight we're going to talk about here from Fight for the Troops 2 is Pat Barry actually defeated Joey Beltran via unanimous decision. I mean, but it was a really good fight. Brad, what do you see for Pat Barry coming up?
I think he's a step ahead of where I see Mitrione right now. Mm-hmm. Kind of he's beat that middle talent, and now he's got to face someone that's kind of top of the division there. You know, mm-hmm. I think when he faced Krokop, he was a little starstruck. I think there was a little bit too much respect there.
Yeah.
It almost kind of looked like they were almost sparring at some point, and that kind of bothered me. But what I want to see is him versus, say, a Frank Mir or Nogueira. Someone like that, maybe even Roy Nelson, I think would be, you know, kind of in kind of the same thing we were saying, you know, with Kenny Florian and Melvin Gallard, like that will let us know right there. Like, okay, you're ready to face, I don't know. I'm trying to think of who's at the top. That's not, you know, I guess maybe
Shane Carwin.
Yeah. Shane Carwin, Dos Santos. Yeah. If he loses to Brock Lesnar, if he loses to Dos Santos, puts him in the title picture, basically.
Definitely. And whoever fights Pat Barry next needs to watch their legs.
Oh, yeah.
Because he will chop you down.
Yeah.
His leg kicks are vicious.
You know what, though? He needs to work on his striking a little bit.
He does.
He needs to work at keeping his hands up a little bit more and throwing those a little bit more. He's got the leg kicks, which are his bread and butter. That's what he's going
to
beat you
with. He needs to finish.
But, I mean, if you're not keeping your hands up, regardless of your leg kicks, you're not going to have a chance to make, especially with the heavyweights, you're not going to have a chance to make it to the, you know, the third round.
Because if Shane Carwin or Brock Lesnar puts one on your chin, you're going to sleep.
Especially Shane Carwin. Yeah. Yeah, he's got to learn to keep those hands up a little bit better.
Yeah, definitely.
But it was a very good fight. It had me captured for the entire three rounds.
Yeah,
you know?
It was very, very interesting to see. One other quick note I want to make about Fight for the Troops, too. It's not a fight we're going to review in detail, but the Eve Edwards beat Cody McKenzie via rear naked choke, and that actually got a fight of the night and submission of the night.
And I just want to point out that I actually had Cody losing that fight.
You did. I think you were the only one of us that did.
But, and the only reason was just because of the experience, and I wanted to be different. But it looked very good. It was a very good fight.
It definitely worked out, so...
That's going to do it for us here on segment one. Make sure you guys stay tuned for segment two. We're going to preview UFC 126. Some big name fights on that where we're going to break down those, give us what we think is going to be some of the predictions for that one, and kind of move through that card. So make sure you guys check us out on segment two.